So I'm going to be talking about state level data too, so I agree that our presentations kind of are in a similar area. And first, I want to recognize my colleague, Terrence Young, at the University of California, San Francisco. And I'm the director of the National Center for Personal Assistance Services. And some of the things that I'm going to be talking about are available on our website at the PASCenter.org website. So we don't have any financial relationships to disclose here. So this first paper I'm going to be talking about, comparing institutional and community-based services in terms of cost. And we know that the Medicaid program is the major payer of long-term care services in the United States. And so it's been one of our major focuses in terms of our research. We're seeing an increased demand for home and community-based services, and this is being encouraged by the Olmstead Supreme Court ruling, which said that states need to provide long-term care in the least restrictive settings. Also, there are many policies that have been adopted at the national level to encourage states to expand HCBS services and to move away from institutional services. And in spite of these pressures, states are very concerned about the cost for the HCBS services. So it's this worry about cost that has kind of held back the growth of services. Now, just for background, there are basically three major programs in the Medicaid long-term care program for HCBS. One is the 1915C waiver program, and this is an optional program that's targeted to individuals that would otherwise be in institutions or at risk for being in institutions. These waivers must be cost neutral, and there are 283 waivers in 49 states. And we've been tracking these waiver programs over time. Arizona and Vermont are a little different because they have a different kind of waiver, an 1115 waiver, and so we don't have good data on them. There's also the personal care benefit, the state plan benefit, and this is available in 32 states in 2010. This program must be statewide, and it covers all individuals that are categorically eligible. And then the home health program, which is a mandatory program, along with the nursing home and the ICFDD program. Now, looking at the HCBS program, there are 3 million participants in 2008, and expenditures of $45 billion. This is covering all three programs that I just talked about. But this slide shows that the waiver program, which is the green, they represent 41% of all the participants and 66% of the expenditures. So states seem to favor this program and have expanded it to the greatest extent. And so this is the program I'm going to be talking about now. This slide shows inflation-adjusted growth in long-term care expenditures, and the top is the ICFDD program, where we're spending $1.3 billion. Nursing home in the gray is $49 billion in 2008. The personal care service state plan option is $10 billion in the yellow. The home health program in the green is $5 billion. And the waiver program is $30 billion. So in spite of the growth that we're seeing in HCBS, we still have an institutional bias that everyone's very concerned about. So this shows that 65% of the participants in long-term care Medicaid programs are HCBS participants, but they only receive 42% of the total expenditures. So institutional care, even though it's smaller, is receiving almost 60% of the total dollars. So we have a long way to go to rebalance these programs. So this particular study was looking at whether the waiver programs actually save money, because this is the issue that kind of limits expanding these programs. So we looked at the national average spending for the waiver programs and then the national average Medicaid spending for the institutional participants, and then the difference or the cost savings between these two programs. We used CMS Form 372 data for all of the waiver programs, 283 in 2008. And then in addition to that comparison, we estimated the room and board cost or the housing cost. And we used SSI, SSP average estimates by state to estimate those costs. So under the waiver program, CMS has a cost neutrality requirement. And so basically the formula is that you take the average cost, the D cost, or the average waiver cost per participant for all the waiver services, and then you add the average cost of other Medicaid services. So that would be like all the hospital physician services and drug services. And you add those together to get the total cost. Then you subtract that from the institutional cost, which is composed of the estimated basic institutional cost plus the G prime, which is the other costs for institutional participants, including the hospital and physician services. So we use this method, which states report on their 372. And then, as I said, we added the state SSI supplemental security income programs for people living independently and the state supplemental program, SSP, for individuals to come up with a gross estimate of their overall room and board cost, which is about $14,000 a year. This slide, and then costs have to be compared to the comparison group. So some waivers are designed to target nursing facilities, others target people that are in hospitals, and others are for the DD. So you have to compare those separately. And so we looked at the nursing facilities, and here if you add all the waiver costs, which is on the far left bar, and compare those to the facility cost, the red shows the savings. So there's $19,918 savings per person in each waiver that's targeted to nursing facilities. For the ICFDD, there's a savings of $67,000 per person. And for the hospital comparison, it's $118,000 per person in savings. Then we also looked at different target groups because the waivers are set up by target group. So for the DD population, the waiver costs are about, the total costs for the waivers, including the green, which is the room and board cost, is about $61,000. And the overall savings for DD is about $64,000 per person that's in the program. The aged and disabled savings is less, it's about $17,000. For the children's waivers, the savings is over $110,000. And for the other waivers, it's about $41,000. Now, there's huge differences in expenditures and participants across states, and so that also results in big differences in the savings. So the overall average savings in 2006 was 67,000, but this varied considerably across states, with the darker colors showing the greatest savings and the yellow the least savings. This is 2008. Okay, so here we have $61 billion for 2008 in overall savings just in the waiver program alone. You can see the West Coast, Florida, and the Northeast have the greatest savings in their waiver programs. Even when you take the most conservative estimate and you put in the room and board costs, you still have a large savings. We also estimated potential woodwork effect, because this is what the economists are worried about, that if you have the HCBS programs expanded, that's what people want. And so more people will take advantage of that than they would an institutional program. And so we added in a potential of a 50% woodwork effect, which we're not sure that that's a real effect at all. But even if you do add that in, we're still seeing about $22 billion savings. So even with the most conservative estimates, we're showing savings. And then we've done some other studies. One that Steve Kaye reported, where states that have large waiver expenditures level out over time and their institutional costs begin to go down. There are new provisions in the ACA that states could take advantage of to expand their HCBS programs. That one is the state balancing incentive payment, where those states that are have high institutional cost and low HCBS can get an extra incentive if they increase their HCBS spending. There's also the Community First Choice program that allows states to add personal care services because there are still 19 states that don't have the state plan option for personal care. There's also a provision that allows the state to convert the HCBS programs to a state plan option, which means they wouldn't have to go through all these cost neutrality calculations. And there are new regulations to allow states to consolidate their waivers, and expanded money for money follows the person. So we're hoping that states will take advantage of this, because it's very clear there's a savings on these programs, and consumers have a right to be in the least restrictive setting. But the major concern is about the state budget, because we're concerned now with the recession that some of the states are going to cut these programs regardless of the fact that there's a savings to be had. So I'll stop with that.